We're in week four of a five-week message series on finding our serve, and then with each week through October, we are also doing Thursday nights at 6:30, where we're offering what we're calling bonus features, going deeper into a dive of what we're talking about on Sundays, whatever the Sunday topic is. And if you've not made any of the bonus features so far on Thursdays or haven't joined online, I really want to encourage you this Thursday to join us, either in person in this room or online. There's going to be an extra element added to our bonus features that's going to be pretty cool, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to either watch or come to experience it on Thursday at 6:30. If you've missed the bonus features, you want to catch up on any of those, what we've been talking about in those weeks, you can still view them at our Facebook page, and they're now also at our website at oldfortchurch.com. If you go to the message archives, you'll see them linked there with the messages, where you can also check in on the bonus features we've done. Let me refresh you where we're at so far in this series. We're working through God's Word to explore and to understand how to serve God. We're using an acronym for the word SERVE to help us each week. And so far, we've talked about this, that SERVE is spelled sacrifice. There's a certain level of sacrifice involved in serving God. It will cost you something. You're putting something into it to be able to serve Him. Then the E is SERVE is spelled embrace. If we're going to serve God, we got to be willing and able and ready to embrace others, every other, right? Everyone who God brings to us and who we are with. Then the SERVE is spelled respond. We talked about the fact that probably serving God is probably about 90% of what happens around us and 10% how we're just responding to it. We're not necessarily having to create service opportunities. How are we going to respond to what's happening around us every day in our lives? Next week, we're going to wrap up the series by talking about SERVE being spelled engage. And this week, we're talking about SERVE being spelled as vision. Serving isn't only, it's not only about the responding. That's simply waiting to react. It's also about being proactive, about having vision in how we serve. We're asking God to pour His vision for our serving upon us so that we can proactively step right into it. Vision is this. Here's a definition we're using for vision today. Vision is an act of seeing, observing, and perceiving. Seeing, observing, and perceiving. You see and observe what's going on, what God's doing, and then you perceive God's call for you and how to serve Him. Proverbs 29:18 says this. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Many people know that verse a little better from the King James Version that says it this way, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That last part sounds kind of like Yoda from Star Wars, doesn't it? He that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's what it sounds like. Why doesn't he just say, you'll be happy if you keep the law, right? Wouldn't that be easier? But that's just a tangent. Actually, I'm more focused on the first part of that scripture. Listen, it appears that right now the church, the body of believers we know of as the church, is perishing in record numbers. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Like they're perishing in record numbers. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I don't necessarily mean the real church. There's actually revival going on in the real church, where numbers of peoples and believers are taking to Jesus and taking to the streets. There was just tens of thousands, perhaps more than that, who converged on Washington, D.C. just a couple weeks ago through two different events, gatherings there in the name of Jesus that were happening there. There are revivals that are happening across the states in our nation right now. One happened just in Cleveland a couple weeks ago where they were actually baptizing people in Lake Erie. Isn't that cool? Or cold, maybe? But isn't that cool? The real church cannot be squelched, but friends, those who call themselves Christians are being challenged right now for what they believe and what they're going to stand up for and where the real Jesus hasn't taken root in the center of our lives. Folks are slipping away into false teaching and to things that look nothing like Christianity. I've seen this going on for quite some time. I've even seen it going on in some clergy, pastor friends of mine. I have pastor friends who used to be strong and true for God and His Word who have become wishy-washy, overholding to truth in a nation and in a world that's ever lefting as a gospel of Jesus that's inclusively untrue. Yes, we are called to sacrifice. Yes, we are called to embrace, to include all. We're called to respond to the needing and the hurting, but we have to engage with true vision that comes from God, that supports the Word of God, and that presents the truth of God, as well as presenting the truth about humankind and our sin and our needs for forgiveness and the need for course correction in our lives when it's needed from God. And so, as we talk about finding our servant vision today, there are a couple very important elements that we need to talk about. And the first element of this in finding our serve through vision is this: God has a plan. We need to understand that God has a plan. Friends, God has a plan, and we want to always have vision that is as scripture, as the scripture verse looked at earlier, we said that is prophetic vision. We're not simply looking for a brainstorm or to come up with ideas to serve God and others. We really want to search God for God's plan and his prophetic vision on our lives. I have a friend who used to put it this way. He'd say we want to surf God's wave. Surf God's waves. What he meant by that is to find out what God's already doing, where God's moving, what God's doing, and be a part of that. Where's God causing the wave? I want to be surfing that wave. We want to be so in tune with the activity of the work of Holy Spirit that we launch out and we surf his wave. Now, listen. The very sad thing is that this friend who used to say that has moved so far from the truth of God's word that he no longer is even in the same ocean where God's causing the waves. I mean, seriously, this once man of God that I knew has opened his inclusion to so many things that God's word says are wrong that it's like he's now reading another Bible. And I'm no longer even sure if he ever really knew the Jesus that I know. If we're going to be in God's plan, it has to be completely based on God's word and his way and his surf. It's kind of funny. A couple weeks ago, Mike was joking around. He said, we should have prompted this message series by having somebody come out on the platform in a swimsuit with a surfboard saying, okay, I'm ready to find my surf. Get it? Find my surf. Pretty funny, Mike. Nobody's laughing very hard, so I'm not sure they like it. But he wasn't that far off. To find our surf, we have to find God's surf, right? We got to find a wave. The Holy Spirit is moving and surf it. That's what we got to do. By the way, I'm going to go on another tangent here for just a moment. Friends, I'm trying to change the way I talk about the part of God that we know of as the Holy Spirit. We understand that God is actually three persons in one. Like H2O can have three parts. It's either water, ice, or steam, right? But they're all H2O. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet all God. Each part of God has a role that's different from all the other parts, but it's one God in three, all still God. We call that the Trinity of God, and maybe we'll go more deeply into that at another time. But right now, I want to focus this moment on part of God that we know of as Holy Spirit. So here's my tangent. It's just a tangent. When we talk about God as Father, we typically call him Father or Father God. Sometimes we'll say the Father, but usually we just say Father, or we pray as Father, or certainly we don't say, oh, the Father. We just say Father or oh, Father, that kind of thing like that. When we talk about Jesus, we don't say the Jesus. We do sometimes say the Son, but more often we say Jesus or Son. However, when we talk about the part of God, Holy Spirit, we typically say the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit is some sort of mystical part of God that we can't really know about and that we don't really have a name for. Jesus does say in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says the Holy Spirit comes on you. So yes, saying the Holy Spirit is perfectly biblical, not saying that it's not. And yet I think that we should also sometimes just refer to that part of God as simply Holy Spirit without always putting the on it. Some of the time just as Holy Spirit. It personalizes Holy Spirit God. It personalizes him in a way like when we say Father or we say Son or we say Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to know your wave and to surf it. So, okay, enough of the tangent. It's just an extra bonus feature without coming to bonus features on Thursdays. But it's also just to say that you're going to hear me sometimes now as I talk about referring to the Holy Spirit, just as saying Holy Spirit. Don't think that it's odd or a slip of the tongue. It's intentional. Because saying Holy Spirit is saying God, Father, Jesus. It's speaking to him in that way. And it's Holy Spirit that we're looking for to find God's vision. Enough of the tangent. So the first element of finding our serve and vision is that God has a plan. God has a plan, and we want our vision to match his plan. It's his plan that matters. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." He has a plan. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not evil, to give you future and hope." Here's the second element of finding our serve and vision. It's this: Holy Spirit vision always connects to Jesus. It always connects to Jesus. Listen, friends, any Holy Spirit-driven vision that God brings about is going to be about Jesus and connecting Jesus and the gospel message of Jesus to the world. We sacrifice, we embrace, we respond, we serve in the vision of Jesus and bringing people to Jesus. If we disconnect Jesus from the mission, then it's not a mission or a call from God. It's just works. It's just a task. The great commission of Jesus is found in Matthew 28:19-20. And Jesus says this. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of," here's, he uses "thee" for all parts here, "in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Holy Spirit vision is always connected to Jesus' great commission. That is to mean to say that all that God leads us to do will somehow represent Jesus and his message of salvation. It might not always mean that it's always going to include words. It might be showing Jesus more than it's preaching Jesus, but it should never exclude the possibility, the hope, the desire to use words to communicate Jesus as well. As a pastor over the years, I've sometimes been invited to say a prayer or at a community thing or to speak at a community thing or something like that. And when I do, I always close my prayers. I always speak in the name of Jesus. I always speak in his name. That's who I am. And that's my connection. And as a pastor who represents Jesus, they should be prepared for, they should even expect me to bring Jesus into the equation if I'm invited, because I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor of Jesus. I'm not pastor of a church or a community. I'm a pastor of Jesus Christ. And if I leave Jesus out, I'm out of his vision for me. If you're claiming God's vision for you in any area of your life and it doesn't include Jesus in some way, you better go back and you better make sure that God's will, that it's God's will and not just your own or somebody else's will. There have been many people over the centuries who have done all kinds of atrocities in the name of God's call and God's vision that have nothing to do, any part of who God is. There have been people who've actually left their spouses and their families supposedly because it's God's vision for them, believe it or not. And that just doesn't hold up to God's word. It doesn't hold up to Jesus, and it certainly is not part of Holy Spirit vision. Holy Spirit vision always connects to Jesus. Jesus says this in John 14:12. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." If it's not the works of Jesus, if it's not the works Jesus would do, then it's not a vision from God, period. The third element of finding our serve in vision is this: Holy Spirit guides us in truth. Guides us in truth. Listen to what Jesus says in John 16:13-14. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. As a fully devoted follower of Jesus, this verse should already excite you. It should excite you, and it should excite me, because it's telling us the Holy Spirit will speak to us through the authority of God, giving to us vision, the vision of God, if we're being attentive to God and attentive to the Holy Spirit in our lives to hear from him. Jesus promises us that he'll show us truth and things to come. The beautiful thing about finding our serve through Almighty God is that he is all-seeing and he is all-knowing. That means that there's no limit to his vision. There's no limit to his wisdom that he's going to give, that he's going to bestow on us, that he's going to show us through his word and through Holy Spirit. It's with the wisdom of God that we can become proactive in our serve. As God calls, we serve. Well, now that we've looked at some of the elements of vision, we're going to spend the rest of our time with I think is something that's very practical, could be very, very helpful for you and for me. We're going to focus on some things that we can already know and do through God's vision that he provides for us. We want to ask God to point out to us his direction. And I came across 9 prompts to get us started doing this. They come from an article that was titled What Does the Bible Say About Vision by Tracy Rollins. And I just found them really helpful to prompt us to hear from the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I'm going to take us through these 9 prompts, and I'm going to add some commentary to each one. But I believe if you take these prompts, if you take notes on your outlines today, or if at home you're writing these down, these prompts, I believe if you use them, they're really going to help to guide you in hearing the Holy Spirit bring vision into your life. So here's the first prompt in hearing Holy Spirit vision. Number one is this: what am I passionate about? What am I passionate about? Don't underestimate what you're already passionate about. If God places a passion in your heart for something, it's for a reason. Some have gotten this wrong idea that if God calls you to something, that it's going to have to be something that's painful, and it's going to be drudgery, and it's going to be boring, and it's going to be something hard that I don't really want to do. Oh, I don't want to do that. No way. God loves to work within us through how he already impassions us. So if you have a passion for youth or kids or a passion for missions or a passion for worship or a passion for creating things or even passions like gardening or cooking or whatever it is, if it's not something that's clearly sin, that's clearly out of God's will, then God likely wants to give you a vision for how you can be used in finding your serve. The second prompt in hearing Holy Spirit vision is this: is what I'm passionate about in line with my values and beliefs. It's possible to become passionate about something that's really out of your own values and beliefs. People get their passions misfocused all the time in life. Sometimes it's a cause or an impression, something that comes from people around us or what's happening in the world, and we get drawn in by our emotions or sometimes by selfish or sinful ambition or desires. Next thing we know, we're out of service to God because the passion we felt wasn't a passion from him. Let me give you some examples. If I become passionate about my work, that may not be a bad thing or a business, but if it's so much so that my whole life is driven by my work or my business, and the next thing I know, I fall out of connection with God's people and God, I stop going to church with any regularity, I stop attending a life group or reading my Bible or praying or any things that are going to help me grow, then friends, I'm going to find myself carried away by a passion that's not based on God's vision for how I'm serving him. It will pull me away. Or if I become passionate about a sport and all my energy goes into improving my abilities in that sport and playing the game, and it pulls me out of fellowship with other believers in Jesus, I'm too tired to show up at church, or I'm participating in sports on Sundays, or if I'm a youth, it's pulled me out of youth group on Wednesday nights and those kind of things, then it's compromising my connection to God and his vision for me. Or if I'm passionate for music or the arts, but that passion, in that passion, I begin to listen to, sing, play parts, songs that really are compromising my own values and beliefs, then I'm likely stepping away from the Holy Spirit vision in my life that God's given me in my music. There are all kinds of other examples that we could give here. But of course, there's something even more important than my values and my beliefs that leads us to the third prompt of the Holy Spirit with vision. And it's this: do my values and beliefs line up with Scripture? Do the values and beliefs I'm holding line up with the Bible? Actually, if I were ordering these nine prompts, I took them in the order that I found them. If I were ordering them, this one would be number two. If my values and beliefs aren't lined up with Scripture, then what I'm passionate about always is going to be off course. It's very possible and easy to have misdirected values and beliefs today. So we first need to align them with God and God's Word. That allows Him to direct our passions within His vision. If your values and beliefs are off, you know what? So will be your vision. So will be your vision. Let me give you a couple of good examples. Adolf Hitler had vision. Friends, you can't deny it. The man had vision. He wrote a whole manifesto, Mein Kampf, on his vision. But since his values and beliefs were way, way off, so was his vision. Osama bin Laden had vision. It was awful vision, but he had vision based on awful values and awful beliefs. But you can't negate that the guy had vision in line with Scripture and God. No way at all. Listen, Planned Parenthood has vision. Antifa has vision. White supremacists have vision. Do I need to go any further? The fourth prompt of hearing Holy Spirit vision is this: what skills, talents, abilities do I have today? What do I have today? Skills, talents, and abilities. Now, somebody's going to be sitting out there today or at home, and you're thinking, well, Mark, I don't have any skill. I don't have any talent. I don't have any ability. What are you, a rock? Of course you do. Of course you do. We all have skills, talents, and abilities. And I'll add to that list, because it's very important, spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. You may need to do some investigating to discover them in your life, because maybe they're not coming quick to your mind. One of the ways to help you discover them is to go through the Journey class the next time that we have it. Because the Journey class helps you to do exactly that. Learn about your personality, your gifts, your talents, your spiritual gifts, and to know how to connect them to finding your serve. Next time we offer it, you should go through it if you haven't done it. But for now, use those who are around you and who can help you to discover the skills, talents, abilities, and spiritual gifts that you have. How do you do that? Ask them. Ask those closest to you, those who've lived with you, who work with you, who serve with you, those who know you. What skills, what talents, what abilities, what spiritual gifts do you see in me? Because often they see in you what you don't see in yourself. And they help you to more clearly understand how Holy Spirit might present vision to your life. Once you lock on to how God's gifted you, begin to seek out how Holy Spirit wants to bring vision to your life through those gifts that you're finding and serve. Here's the fifth prompt of hearing Holy Spirit vision. Number five is this: what other resources has God provided me today? Other resources. Friends, whatever you have, it's not just for you. It's not. It's not just for you. It's for how and where you can serve God. If God's blessed you with financial resources, then you know what? Where might He give you vision to support ministry or to support others in some way? If God's given you property, what vision might God place on your heart for His purposes with that property? Maybe He wants you to have the youth out for a cookout and a game night outside or something. If God's blessed you with some extra food, extra time, extra space, or extra energy, or extra anything, how might He turn those resources into a vision to find your serve? The sixth prompt of hearing Holy Spirit vision is an extension of this one, and it's this: how can I use what God put in my hands today to glorify him. Right now in this moment that I have today, vision for finding your serve has everything to do with bringing glory to God. Everything. That's what it's really about, bringing glory to God. And so a regular question that we can ask ourselves to prompt God's vision in our lives is, what is God putting in my hands right now in this moment, in this day, that he might be wanting me to use for his glory in some way? Do you think that you have what's in front of you just for you? You don't. What can you use for him today? What might he vision in you? Often we think that our vision is only thinking about those things way in the future. But remember the definition that we're using for vision: an act of seeing, observing, and perceiving. Seeing, observing, and perceiving. When we're at home, when you're at work, when you're out, what are you seeing? And what are you perceiving that you can do with what God has right in front of you in your hands right now to bring glory to God? When you're at work, you're not working for your boss. You're not working for you. You're working for God. What are you perceiving you might do for him in that moment? When you're raising kids, guess what? They're not your kids. They're God's kids, but he's given them to them to you right now. What are you doing right now with them in your hands to bring glory to God? What vision is he planning in this moment for you with your kids? When you're in a store, see and observe and perceive glorifying God with what and who is around you and what action you might take. What we're talking about isn't just future vision. We're talking about vision living. Always living within the vision of God with whatever he places in your hands at any moment. Your vision is, my work will glorify God. My relationships will glorify God. My schoolwork will glorify God. My playtime will glorify God. My worship will glorify God. Whatever God puts in my hands is for his glory. That's finding vision in your serve and in your life. Seventh prompt of hearing God's Holy Spirit vision is this: are there other people who have similar gifts as mine? And if so, where are they? What are they doing with them? What are they doing with these gifts? A great way to be a visionary with your serve is to see and observe how and where God's using others. Half of the ideas we come up with around here at Old Fort Church, we watched God do somewhere else first. We don't have to sit around and create what God's already doing other places. A pastor I served with one time said, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Somebody already invented the wheel. Don't put your time and energy into reinventing something that's already there. Look around and see what others are doing. And so you look and see if God's creating a surf, a wave over here to surf, how might God use that same wave where we are and in my life? Creating the waves for my life. Often we struggle to find our serve, not because we don't want to, but because we don't know how. We don't know what to do. So when you explore how God's gifted you, as we talked about earlier, a next step is to observe others with the same kind of gifts that you have. How are they using those gifts? I guarantee that not only has God gifted us all, but he wants all of us to use our gifts again to bring glory to him. If you sew, check out the sewing ministry at the church, the so nice ladies. If you've gifted in music, pay attention to what's happening on this platform, and maybe you might find your serve here. If you're a good student of the Bible, then connect to a life group and give your input of what God's giving you to others. Maybe you'll even be a life group leader someday. If God places people on your heart to pray for, then maybe you should be coming to our Wednesday morning prayer time where you're praying with others. If you're good at fixing things, pay attention to some of the fix-it needs in your family and your friends' houses when you're going to their places, and bring glory to God by just stepping in with your gift to help them fix the things that need fixed. If you're gifted in listening, then find a group of people that like to talk, and they need people to listen to them who can speak back into their lives. The options, friends, are endless, aren't they? When you think about Holy Spirit providing vision in your life through your gifts and through what you see him doing in others, they become endless. The eighth prompt to hearing Holy Spirit vision is this: how can I think bigger than what I have today? Than what I have today. Don't only vision for today, also vision for tomorrow. Thinking beyond today helps you to grow in faith and to grow in maturity. who may be like this. Right now, I'm most comfortable being in a life group where I can just contribute, but someday, here's the vision part, someday God's going to use me to lead a group. Right now, I'm only taking classes for this course of study of what I like to do, but someday I'm going to serve God in this job field. Right now, I'm still perfecting this instrument, learning to play it, but someday I might find myself serving with the worship team. Visioning for the future, think bigger than today, because God's plan is always bigger and better than we know. Years ago, God planted vision in this body, this church of body of believers in this church body, these worshipers, to build a new building. That vision ended up being like a 10, 15-year vision process. I wasn't here for the majority of that time, but in that time, it looked like that vision was going to come to fruition like two or three times, but it didn't happen. Yet there were some people who kept believing in the vision, in the body, who kept believing and continuing to think bigger than today when it looked like the vision would never come through. And then about 4 years ago, God brought his vision here to come to part. And he's used this building now and will continue to use this building for amazing things. I asked Mike if he would take a moment to come up and share with us part of the vision that God gave him through that vision that was happening at the time for this church and the facility coming, and just to share a little bit of that reality for him and what he was seeing happening. Would you share with us a minute, Mike?
Sure, thanks. As part of working here, part of a lot of jobs, one of the things you do is you have a periodic time where you go in and you talk to the boss and you talk about how things are going and what where you see yourself in 5 years and those kind of things. So I would do that. I would go in and talk with the pastor at the time, and after I'd been here a few years, I felt like what God had said to me was, I see you somewhere bigger. That was the word that I had got. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that was talking about at the time. And I think at the time, you know, being a young aspiring musician, I thought, hey, I'm gonna get a record contract. I'm gonna hit the road, and I'm gonna be playing big auditoriums. And I thought, so maybe that's what it is. But he's like, well, hold on. That's not what I said. I said, I see you somewhere bigger. And so as I, you know, as I would serve and I would process that, what I wasn't sure is that going to be somewhere else that's a bigger place, or is that going to be Old Fort that's literally bigger? And as a lot of you can see by sitting here in this room today, that was the answer. That's what God provided. Years later, after again, you know, several attempts and different things, we had, you know, we remained faithful, and God provided a bigger place. And so here we are. So not only did God give the vision, but I've already got to see that part answered, which was. Amazing, just to see that come to fruition and know that was a legitimate word from God. And so here we are in a bigger place. And now, kind of a cool next step to that story is that God's vision doesn't stop. Even once one vision is answered, there's still more to go. And so here just a few weeks ago, Mark and Matt and I got to go to a conference down in Nashville. Amazing time. And we're sitting in a smaller teaching group at the time. And through nudging of Holy Spirit from the pastor that was speaking at the time, he's like, you know what? I feel like we need to wrap this time up by just inviting anybody that wants to come forward to pray. Just feel like that's something we need to do. And pretty much everybody in the room came forward to pray, and so I came forward. I felt like, yeah, I probably should. And so wasn't even necessarily expecting to hear from God in that moment. I don't know why. I probably should have. But I'm praying, and in that moment, I felt just as clear as I felt God said to me years ago. He's like, okay, now I told you I want you in a bigger place, and I did that. Now I want you in a different place. Okay. Which was very clear. That word was very clear, but now what he means by it is still very unclear to me. Now at this point, I don't think that necessarily means a different location. I think, and again, I'm still waiting to see how he reveals this, I think God's revealing to me that he wants me personally in a different place in my own life, in how I serve my family, in how I serve my church, in how I serve the teams that I'm working with. I think in how I do things is what I felt like maybe he was leading me towards. And so then, in true God fashion, as soon as I got up and got done praying, we all kind of went back to our spots, and the pastor got back up, and he was speaking a little more and just really in the moment, but I could tell he was slightly distracted. And then eventually he turned and he looked straight at me and he said, "Hey, you right here, come here, come down front."
He actually said, "You in the plaid shirt."
Yeah, he said, "You in the plaid shirt." Which, can you believe I was wearing a plaid shirt? Is that like right? Right? Yeah, "You in the plaid shirt, come here. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you." And so I came forward, he put his hand on my head, and not minutes after God had told me, "I want you in a different place," he prays over me, prays blessing on my life and my ministry, and says, "I feel like God is showing me a new blueprint." That's the exact word he used, a new blueprint for your life and for your ministry. And it was just so cool to see, again, God and Holy Spirit provide that vision and confirm that vision. And now I'm excited. I don't even know what that means exactly, yeah. But I know that it means I need to take action, and I know I need to step into my serve and figure out what that means, and I need to be proactive in that. And so taking steps to do that, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and already some things are starting to be a little different. And
absolutely.
I remember another word he said to you, and there was simplify.
Yeah.
Simplify. It was part of that blueprint somehow.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah. I was a little jealous. I wanted him to call me up and have a word for me. But it was awesome. You know, and often the way that God's vision unfolds when he speaks to us like that and through others is that it's kind of left open-ended. Something different. We don't know what that means yet, right? A couple years before we came here, we have a friend that sent a letter to us, and it's one of those friends that when the letter comes in the mail, you're like, "I hope this is for you," because the Lord will give her a word for you. And this letter happened to be for both of us, but in my portion of the letter, it talked about how God was something in the lines of preparing me for something more, for something bigger. And so here I was serving in Cincinnati in a church, but it was open-ended. It didn't say, "You're moving, I'm preparing you for something bigger." And I didn't know what that meant. But if he would have told me in that word, "I'm preparing you to move in 2 years," then my whole focus would have been on getting ready to move in 2 years. But just by saying, "I'm preparing you for something bigger," told me I need to do something right now. And so you live into that vision in that moment, and it changed my ministry in that church. It also spoke to me, there was a word in that vision about bringing truth, and it started to really, I already believed I preached the truth, but it really placed heavy emphasis on me that you have to be about bringing truth in God's word, and it started there. And then at one point, God did call me to a new location. That was a bigger location that I was now had been prepared for and was able to step into. Sometimes the vision is given by God real clearly, but sometimes it's open-ended like that. We have one more final prompt of hearing Holy Spirit vision, and it's this, and this one's really important. Based on the answers to these questions that we've been talking about, prayerfully write out God's vision for you. If you feel God is speaking to you about a vision in your life, you go through these questions and you feel like God's revealing something, take the time to write it down. Write it in a journal. When Mike had those words said over him and the words he heard, we got back to the hotel room, I said, make sure you write them down. Write it down so you don't forget what's been said to you. Friends, there's something very important about this part of it. Sometimes when Holy Spirit gives you a vision, it's for today, but most often it's not. You can see that over and over again in the Bible. Sometimes God's vision won't even be fulfilled through you. You're just going to be part of setting it up for what's going to happen later, maybe through others. That often happened in the Bible. Abraham never saw all of the offspring that he was promised in his line, did he? Moses never got to enter the Holy Land. John was given a whole book that we know of as Revelation that's all a vision of God that he didn't, in his lifetime, get to see any of it unfold. As God pours out vision on your life, by writing it down, you'll sometimes get a blueprint or at least have a record of what's been said to you that you can go back to. It'll help you to not forget what God's calling you to, because the enemy wants you to forget it. The enemy wants to try to make you think it's some sort of pipe dream that really didn't come from God, and then, so it'll never happen. It may be that you'll use what you write down to help you walk through it and what's happening in your life, or it may be that it becomes a blueprint for somebody else to finish out what God starts in you someday. I feel pretty sure that when Franklin Graham got the vision to do Operation Christmas Child, he had no idea that from 1993 to 2019 that they would deliver 157 million shoeboxes with gifts of the and the message of Jesus. He's connecting that Jesus part to it like we talked about earlier. 157 million shoeboxes to 160 countries and territories. And I can almost guarantee that he had no idea that a little church in Old Fort, Ohio would find it served by giving over 300 boxes this year. Yes, I'm visioning for us. I believe we could do that. Over 300 boxes from our body. I know there aren't even close to that in the room, but there are people at home too that can still be a part of doing something, finding our serve. I bet when Tim Tebow got the vision to start a ministry that takes special night proms for special, really special, special needs people, to let them know that they're loved and they're just really loved on and appreciated, that come together, I bet he had no idea that it would take off and go to different cities all around the nation and reach as many people as it has. I bet when Christian recording artist Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife Mary Beth Chapman, when they got the vision to start a ministry called Show Hope that gives adoption grants to help people adopt children, that they had no idea that as of 2018, they would have been able to help over 6,000 families adopt children from 63 countries. And provide urgent medical care to 2,500 orphans in China. That's over 6,000 children without homes and families who now have forever homes and families. I bet they had no idea how big God's vision might go. And so, friends, as we think about God's vision for our serve, I want to close today with a prayer from Scripture that Paul writes to a people in a church called Ephesus. It's his prayer over them, but I want you to know that every word of it right now is my prayer over you. As we're asking Holy Spirit to unveil his vision for God's serve on your life and my life, I want to pray from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. I'm just praying right out of Scripture. These words he wrote in prayer for others, I'm praying for you. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes if you're home, just close your eyes and take in this prayer from Scripture and from me and from Holy Spirit and God for us. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in a God of wonders, don't you? So why is it so often we can believe in the God of wonders for others, but we don't believe in him for ourselves? Why would we believe that God would only vision and call and use people in a Bible time, but not believe that he's going to do it with us today? God is a God of wonders. And he has wonder in his heart for you, and vision in his heart for you and what you would do. None of us are just about punching a time clock. And if that's what you're doing, you're missing it. God has visions for you, for your life and for ministry and for what you'll do. And it might seem small to others and be huge to you. It might seem huge to others and be small to you. But God wants to do in you so many things. You know, I felt like as we were ending up here and I was getting ready to come up on the platform, Scripture says that somewhere in Scripture that you will have, young people will have dreams and visions. And I just want to tell you, pay attention to the youth right now. Young people who love the Lord, because what I'm starting to see in some of those young people that I know who love the Lord is God's often given words through them that I'm not even hearing. And it comes, I'm seeing it through some of my own kids. And God wants to speak through them. I believe that our young generation is a Jesus generation. And they're going through all kinds of tough things because they're being pulled apart because the enemy knows they're the Jesus generation. He wants them not to live for him and not to proclaim for them and not to profess for him. He wants them not to do what he has for them and to hear his vision and call. But I believe he's calling. I want you young people to know that as I see the few that are here. He is calling you guys. I know it. I know it. And you can choose not to listen. You can invest in anything else that you want to that's not of him, but it will only pull you down in a way. I believe God wants the young people to do something really special in our generation, not just tomorrow, but today. And us old folks at Old Fort Church, by the way, Old Fort Church, us old folks, we better be listening to what the young people are saying. Because I believe God wants to use them for a vision in our lives. We never stop. You never check out. You never get to the point that you retire from God and his vision for you. So we want to listen closely. I encourage you to be here Thursday night. Something special is going to be here. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You either have to be here or watch. So Thursday at 6:30. God bless you all. Love you.